I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Lawmakers say First Brother James Biden contradicted himself yesterday when presented with evidence he could not refute.
Brooke Singman is here with the details. Hi, Brooke.
Hey, guys. Yeah, James Biden originally claimed he had no involvement in Hunter's business deals, but his story came crumbling down when lawmakers confronted him with a copy of an agreement with his own signature on it. The president's brother says he doesn't remember signing it, but lawmakers are not buying it. Listen.
What's your overall assessment of James Biden's testimony today?
Interesting.
Was it truthful?
He contradicted himself.
There's this CEFC entity that was paying a lot of money, Chinese connected. It was going into the Biden family's bank accounts. And he tried to pretend as though he didn't know that CEFC was connected to the Chinese government.
I need to make sure you are aware, the Biden defense going forward for the entire Biden family will be, I don't remember. I don't remember. Oh, I signed. That's my signature. Oh, yeah, it looks like my signature, but I don't remember. You can't get someone on perjury if they say they don't remember. But he contradicted prior testimony he gave previously, and that's where James Biden just got himself into a box. Now the question is for James Biden, and the same remains for Hunter Biden, how much are you willing to spend in jail or paying fines to protect Joe Biden? Larry, you're jumping ahead of yourself. You're jumping ahead. You don't have any proof, have no proof, no checks directly to... Wait. There is a check that went to Joe Biden. Not from any foreign entity. No, you're right. It came from his brother James. I'll bet he doesn't even remember sending that check. And we're going to get into that as well, believe me. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, hour number two. Larry Connors, USA, right here for you, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. When we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. You can watch News Talk STL Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook. And if you miss anything, you can go back and listen and or watch a podcast of the program at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. We make it easy for you. And I'd mention in closing the last hour, in case you missed it, shame on you. But I know you can't listen all the time. I understand that. That's why we also put up the podcast, so you can go back and pull it up. But as I mentioned in the last hour, and I'm going to repeat before we wrap up this hour again, there is a direct, imminent threat to conservative voices across the nation. And it comes in the form of George Soros and what he's doing. If you haven't heard it, have you missed the last part of the last hour? I'll give you a bit more of it before we wrap up this hour. But back to this issue where we've got James Biden yesterday testifying behind closed doors, congressional testimony. This is all part of the House moving forward with this impeachment inquiry. And again, I remind you, the election in November is so important, not just for the Oval Office, but a third of the Senate is up for re-election, and I think most of them are Democrats, and we have every member of Congress, the House of Representatives, is up for re-election. And in the House, Republicans hold a narrow lead, and it's shrinking if we're not careful. And if they lose that, all of this investigation into Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, it would just be washed out by a Democrat-controlled House. Do you want that to happen? No, that's why you need to make sure you're voting. I don't care who you think will or will not win the presidency. You make sure you vote and protect those House seats for Republicans, conservatives. And by God, those Republicans that are in there and claiming to be Republicans, they better stand up and not get weak-kneed, get a stiff spine, and face any onslaught coming their way. Don't get in there and cave. Too many already have, and too many seem to be getting a little faint. Slap them around. Get them to stand up. But back to the issue with James Biden testifying yesterday. South Carolina Congressman Russell Fry lays out some of what Biden said and didn't say.
In his opening statement, Jim Biden said that he had no involvement and that he was not in an agreement with Rob Walker, Hunter Biden, and James Gilyard. But when presented with a document that he signed with those gentlemen coming together for a business arrangement, he changed his story there and said he wasn't familiar with signing that particular document. I just think that's kind of the one of those situations in which if your lips are moving, you're lying. And that seemed to be kind of one of my biggest takeaway from what happened yesterday.
Yeah, your lips are moving. You must be lying. But I just don't remember signing that document. Larry, could we put something in front of you that you signed some years ago and you don't remember signing it? Yeah, you probably could. But it would be anything that would be a major business deal of any type or even buying a house or selling a house. I think I would remember that. I might not remember all the details, but I certainly would remember the transaction. But he just said, I just don't remember. Amnesia runs rampant in the Biden family, and it is their perfect excuse. And Congressman Fry had some added remarks.
His initial testimony was flat out said, you know, I was not part of any arrangement. And then when presented with the document, and that's just a huge inconsistency, you don't remember signing a document or being part of a formation of a group. But that's really belied by all the evidence we've received so far. We know that payments have been made. He was not aware of $360,000 in payments in 2017 that they were from the Chinese energy company CEFC. But Rob Walker just testified that he was on the phone quite extensively with Jim Biden about those payments and that those were directed by Hunter. So, I mean, I think most Americans would look up and say, if $360,000 plop into your bank account, don't you think that if you were unaware of the origination of it, don't you think that you would call and ask, what is this money for?
Isn't that true of any of you? If suddenly you had $200,000, $300,000 dumped into your bank account, wow. Well, what happened? I hit the jackpot and I didn't know about it. Of course, you might be thinking, if I raise questions, maybe they'll take it back. But you definitely note it and see it. And if you had anything to do with it appearing in your bank account or going from your bank account to someone else, you damn well know what happened. But I don't know. I forgot. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio and Missouri Congressman Jason Smith.
Just with Hunter, just with Jim, because of the power of the brand, the influence with Joe Biden that would entail.
We have numerous WhatsApp messages and emails provided to us by the IRS whistleblowers that show James Biden was intimately involved along Hunter, Tony Bobulinski, Rob Walker, and others in selling access to his brothers to foreigners.
Yeah, that's very clear. That, again, was Missouri Congressman Smith at the end. He's on the House and Means Committee, chair of it. And then, of course, you have to look at the IRS has to be involved in here somewhere. If there's money coming in, you need to be reporting it as income. Well, Hunter Biden found out that when he was facing numerous federal IRS violations. And they ponied up that little sweetheart of a deal where he'd plead guilty to one or two of them. The rest would being pursued so late they were beyond the statute of limitations. And he'd acknowledge maybe lying on a gun permit, which lands a lot of people in jail for a federal offense. And they had all this sweetheart deal all tied up, and he was going to be rid of his IRS deals. And all of a sudden the judge said, no, this does not work. We're not going to let it go through. So he withdrew his guilty plea. And he got a good friend of his with a lot of money in California to pony up the money to pay not only his back IRS taxes, but all the penalties and everything that went with it. So he would not have to face full embarrassment and out on the streets again. And then we get the Biden Progressives open border policy. It's blowing up. It's causing excessive, massive backlash, even in sanctuary states and cities. Listen to this Chicago resident rip the Chicago mayor and city council for taking money meant for poor Americans in Chicago and giving everything to illegals.
I think the biggest thing on that is that
And when they say giving everything to illegals, we mean most anything and everything.
All this asylum seeking lie, all this about refugees, no. What's happening is they're emptying out the dregs of their jails into the United States, into our communities. They're junking up our country. And yeah, we feel some kind of way about it because it's our country. It's our country. People like Vasquez and them, look how disrespectful they are. Now, you just gave that man a resolution for his father's restaurant. And every time we get up and talk, he's working this room. Look at him. Look at him. But he wants his resolution for his father to be respected. Vasquez, Lopez, all of them want their people to be respected, but they can't even give us the dignity for what we built. But them, ain't no question about it. Yeah, Black History Month, the American descendants of slavery. And I want you to know, Brandon Johnson, I understand what Breakmore's saying about we still on the plantation, but what you looking at right now, this is what a free Negro look like. And I'm telling you, we're going to get our city back, we're going to stand for our people, we're going to get them out of our communities, because they don't deserve to be there. Anytime they can't give us 3 lousy minutes of their attention while we sit here and watch y'all get them all kind of money.
And let me tell you exactly how that's going down in Chicago. And by the way, when she's calling out Brandon Johnson, he is the Black mayor of Chicago, ignoring his Black residents, especially the poor. Chicago and Illinois, like New York City, as we were reporting earlier, and we won't add more to it in a moment, experiencing a massive surge in migrants, straining all kinds of taxpayer-funded government services designed for Americans. Here's what they're doing in Illinois. The state allocating $71.8 million in funds for cash payments made to, quote, households that were not eligible to receive economic impact payments due to immigration status. Chicago itself earmarking another almost $15 million, which will send $500 cash transfer to tens of thousands of previously excluded residents and domestic workers who were illegal. That's what it's leading up to. In fact, a notice was issued as part of the program that states, and I quote from it, no questions will be asked in regards to citizenship or immigration status if you're applying for any of this money. The woman is right. They're dumping money on everyone, but the people that live there and have been living there all these years. The state of Massachusetts estimating now it's spending $64 a day to feed each migrant, on track to spend $1 billion by 2025. And then, of course, you go to New York City and the report from NBC News.
We're back now with a record number of migrants crossing into the U.S., pushing resources to the limit in many American cities. Now hospitals are sounding the alarm, saying they're also overwhelmed, including some far from the border. Julia Ainsley has our report.
Tonight, the border crisis surging. Officials telling NBC News there were over 200,000 illegal crossings at the southern border last month, and a record 3 million migrants crossed the border in the last year. Now, a new warning, 1,000 miles away in New York City, where officials tell us resources are overwhelmed. Across public hospitals in New York City over the last year, nearly 30,000 visits by migrants and 300 new babies born to migrant moms.
Now, keep in mind, every baby born to an illegal in this country is automatically an American citizen. That's the way the law is set up. And many pregnant women came here knowing if their child could be born on U.S. soil, their child would be an American citizen. I'm glad for the birth of the child, and that has not been aborted. But if you ever get around to some kind of deportation effort of illegals, what are you going to do about that? That's just another issue. Now, again, in the view of the Democrats, migration issue, the illegal issue has been around for decades, which it has. And both parties have had opportunities to deal with it in different ways. Reagan did it, so that'll be the last amnesty we're going to give. Well, we're back into that box again. And part of it, again, is because right now it's gotten a crisis issue over the last 3 years under Joe Biden and his progressives. And then if you need legal advice, if you're poor and you need legal advice in New York City, they have taxpayer-free legal advice for you. But good luck getting inside the office.
Most of the visits to the taxpayer-funded legal clinic here are by migrants.
Our clinics are full, and there are waiting lists, and people are turning people away or referring them to other places.
Randy Redkin from New York's Legal Assistance Group says so many migrants are asking for legal help on asylum representation and health care access. Now, she says, American citizens who need legal assistance with issues like eviction and insurance have to wait up to 10 weeks.
If you ask me, do we need more resources for legal services, I would say absolutely yes.
Meanwhile, New York's governor now slamming the situation at the border.
It is too open right now. People coming from all over the world are finding their way through, simply saying they need asylum.
And New York Mayor Eric Adams saying providing services for migrants will cost city taxpayers $12 billion. But Biden administration officials have blamed Adams' response. It is not an operationally sound effort, one senior DHS official told NBC News.
That is a member of Joe Biden's staff under Alejandro Mayorkas, a DHS official, saying that the mayor of New York City does not have an operational project that really works. You dumped it on him, and now you're dumping on him. And then Kathy Hochul, New York governor, the border's too open. You just suddenly realize that. Because now they're in your backyard, not along the border communities. Even CNN's Begala, who is one of their political analysts, says, Biden and the Democrats are, quote, belatedly saying the border needs to be controlled. Slap them in the face, maybe they get it. Nope. On top of that, others are still saying, hey, if you've got room in your house, can you take some illegals in? But I do not see the leading members of the Democrat Party opening their house or their governor's mansions or the White House. Before this hour is over, latest on the massive power outages for AT&T. Pharmacies also reporting issues today. Florida Senator Rubio warning of a Chinese cyber attack that could still be coming. And coming up next, Christian nationalist. What does that mean? Is it a slur, a slander, or something you should embrace? Luck and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to go on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to go on the red light.
Roxanne. Red light.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My next guest is the editorial director at The Federalist, Kylie Griswold. Glad to have you with us, Kylie.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
Let's begin with a piece you wrote and really caught my attention. I want to make sure it got the focus of my audience. And let's begin with the term, someone being called a Christian nationalist. Is that a slur, a slander, or is that something Christians should embrace?
Well, that's a tricky question. I think it's definitely a slur. Definitely slander. That's the intent of it, is to brand people as this thing that's defined by their opponents. But I also think on a different level, you know, Christians should embrace it. We have another piece at The Federalist today arguing that it's a pastor who's saying basically, I am a Christian nationalist by the way that the other side defines it. I personally think we should reject it because it's a mischaracterization. It's a way to demonize people who have orthodox Christian beliefs.
Well, let me stop there for a moment. When Trump was branded a nationalist, I say, yes, and I'm a nationalist. I believe in our nation. I want our president to believe in our nation and be for our nation. I don't expect him to be a French nationalist because that's not his nation that he represents. So as a Christian, on one hand, I can say, yeah, I'm a nationalist. I'm for Christianity. That doesn't mean I'm demeaning or putting down other religions, but I believe in it. So there's a thin line for some of us to go through this maze and figure out exactly how it applies or does it apply. And you're saying that you think it should be flat rejected.
Well, basically, the way that that the detractors will define Christian nationalism is to say that Christian nationalists believe that the country was founded as a Christian nation and that Christian values should be prioritized throughout government. And to both of those things, I say, yes, that's true. Those are normal things to believe in. I mean, ask anybody whether the United States was founded on biblical principles and inalienable rights and natural law.
Sure.
The answer is clearly yes, even if we didn't follow them perfectly. And ask anyone, Christian or non-Christian, whether they would advocate for their views, religious, moral, ideological, in government, that's the whole entire point of politics. So neither of these things are nefarious, but when you attach the Christian nationalist label to them, it becomes a slur that people who do not want Christians active in government can throw at Christians to scare them away from basically living out their faith in public life.
And as you point, shaming them to hide their faith. Now, we have a lot of Jews no longer wearing the Star of David or yarmulkes because they're afraid they might be targeted for terrorist-type actions. So now Christians need to hide their faith. I'm not hiding the cross I have around my neck, and I'm not going to be shamed by it. But you point out a piece in Politico that talked about a second Donald Trump term, saying that because it should shame conservatives who believe the country was founded as a Christian nation. In other words, as you said, we certainly were. But then also dealing with the He Gets Us ads that we saw during the Super Bowl, where people are washing other people's feet as Jesus did his disciples, and as a prostitute washed his feet using her hair and perfume. I mean, they're taking everything that we consider true, biblical, first of all, and our faith, and they want to turn it upside down.
Right. Well, you bring up the Politico article, and if you actually go and read the whole thing, Politico really tips its hand, and it basically exposes itself for not actually having a problem with, it's not about some sort of nefarious Christian action. It is basic beliefs, like traditional marriage, valuing unborn human life, you know, opposing abortion, right, believing that a country should have borders, national sovereignty, believing that men and women are different, the importance of a self-government having virtuous citizens, risk, well-documented risks of oral contraception, or even the idea of natural law, the idea that government does not bestow our rights upon us. Those are derived from the fact that we were created in the image of God and that we have innate, inalienable rights as human beings. Politico attacks all of these. These are basic ideas. You don't have to be some sort of militant, you know, nominal Christian to believe in these things. So basically, Politico does not want you to have orthodox views or to advocate for common sense and biblical views in public life. And they make that very clear. They just use the Christian nationalist sneer to distract and to shame.
And you point out in your article, and again, folks, you're listening, Kylie Griswold, editorial director of The Federalist, and the article is titled, Don't Let the Christian Nationalist Slur Shame You from Hiding Your Faith. And one point you point out in the article, true Christians don't make up the majority or the in-group. We're in a form of 21st century exile, and thus God's commandments to his people Israel, while they were in exile in Babylon, are instructive. And you quote then from Jeremiah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when you read that passage, it's God speaking to his children when they're in exile in Babylon. And Aaron Wren, he's a writer, he does a really good job of explaining sort of the environment that we're in today as Christians. He calls it the negative world, basically that the United States, the culture that we're in is predisposed to be negative toward Christianity. There might be consequences for it, ramifications. We're not the nation of Israel, like we live in the United States of America, but the commands that God gives to his people have such an application for us today, and that's to basically build houses, live in them, get married, have children, don't stop having children and cultivating your home and planting gardens and, you know, creating food for yourself. And he says to seek the welfare in the city where I have sent you into exile, and to pray for it. And I can't think of a better prescription for Christians who are not welcomed in public society than to continue advocating for their beliefs, but also just to be faithful in the everyday things of life.
And the quote you're using from Andrew Walker, T. Walker, Christian ethics professor and ethics in Public Policy Center, in his book, A Christian Guide to Political Engagement, you point out, he says, politics is how we arrange ourselves in society for the sake of justice and mutual benefit. In this way, politics is very ordinary. It consists of small daily actions of citizens stewardizing the parts of the order that are meant to be honored, life, family, engagement in a society, which is exactly what you just said. We have to live in the world. We are not apart from the world, but we don't have to be of the world.
Right. And just to bring it full circle, I mean, when you do that, when you arrange yourself in the way that God has prescribed, by getting married, having children, being active in your community, advocating for the welfare of it, that is when you will be branded as a Christian nationalist. So do not shy away from doing the things that you know you need to do, no matter what your enemies will say about you. Because we as Christians, we know we're going to be hated.
And you also,
the Bible makes that very clear.
We also know that in many of those who are using this as a slur and a slander, they're targeting white Christians. There are a lot of black Christians that are just as strong, if not stronger, in their faith.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting, very telling, too, the way that the left has sort of combined this Christian nationalist label with the idea of white evangelicals, quote, or ultra MAGA Republicans. They sort of lumped this Christian nationalist theme in with white Christians who support Trump, which just a little sidebar here, is interesting to watch the media do that, because a couple of years ago, you know, Trump was a anti-Christian, vulgar individual, absolutely despicable and disgusting, and how could Christians ever vote for him? And now we're supposed to believe that people who vote for him, that bringing him back into the White House, that will usher in some sort of Christian nationalism. The press cannot make up their mind. Completely incoherent.
Well, it's the same thing with the border. They're putting all the blame for the border issue on the Republicans. Not that Biden opened it up for the last 3 years. But
completely incomprehensible.
Yeah, but they don't have any explanation. That's the problem. They have to keep spinning a web over and over again. It's the kid that got his hand in the cookie jar and trying to say, I didn't do it, but you got chocolate chip on your lip.
Right. Well, and I covered this in the piece too, but I mean, the way that the left talks about it just exposes the fact that their worldview is equally religious to the Christian worldview. It's just coming from a different standpoint. And the way that they view this outlook, like you said, through the lens of race, the way that they view it through the lens of, you know, reproductive rights, or, you know, fill in the blank with any sort of buzzword from the left, it is, they have equally as religious of views that they are advocating for in public life, but they don't want Christians to be allowed to do it.
And as you say, they use the term to basically shame and bully.
Right. The ultimate goal maybe is that the primary goal is not to make you renounce your faith totally. It's not to make you walk away and join their ranks necessarily. It's to shut you up so that the next time you think about running for school board or speaking up for your child or posting something to your friends on Facebook, you stop and reevaluate and, you know, consider whether it's really worth it for you to be branded as a Christian nationalist just for being faithful in your life.
And that is where they have then won.
Exactly, exactly. If they can get you to stop talking, then they can fill the void.
Do you think these messages, I've liked them in the Super Bowl and other places, Jesus gets us, Jesus teaches love, not hate. I think they're very powerful messages, but they make them out to be almost demonic.
Yeah, I have some real problems with the He Gets Us Super Bowl ads. There's been some really, really good commentary on them from Matt Walsh and from Megan Basham. But basically, I mean, there's a lot of political undertones to those ads that really do demonize faithful conservative Christians. You saw that specifically with the still of the abortion protesters, the
right.
Subtext of which is that they're hateful. And then you have the one who is washing the feet of, you know, presumably a woman who's seeking an abortion.
Right.
But the whole point of that frame is to frame faithful Christian abortion opponents as hateful. You know, the world already knows that Jesus didn't teach hate. That's one of the most basic things you could ever say or know about Jesus. So, you know, we don't need messages that twist the foot washing story into something that it's not.
Kylie Griswold with the Fairless, thank you very much for your time. And just this morning, I'm reading the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thank you.
Amen, Larry. Thanks a lot.
Amen. Coming up, the IRS and the Bidens, they're still to be examined.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think the biggest thing on that is that there's allegedly no supporting documentation, but the IRS mandates that if you're going to loan members of your family money, that you have to have supporting documentation, you have to have a payment schedule and an interest rate, and none of that appear here. And I think that's consistent with what we've seen so far with this family and the pattern of conduct that they engage in.
That is South Carolina Congressman Russell Fry talking about James Biden testifying behind closed doors and scheduled for a public hearing later, and Hunter Biden scheduled next week for his deposition behind closed doors, and James Biden simply not remembering signing some documents that put him in business and had money coming in, and they've got the check and the check stubs and photo images of the check of him sending his brother $200,000 check, and there's no IRS trail as it should be presented. They never intended it to even be known. So why should they bother reporting it to the IRS? If it was a loan and is paid back with or without interest, just make a statement to that effect. If James Biden got $200,000 from Joe Biden as a loan, he had to show it as income. And they could even say, no interest loan. He's my brother. IRS can't challenge that, but at least you got to make note of it. He has to report his income. And if Joe Biden wrote it down that it came out of his income he was making and treating as a write-off as a loan, where's that documentation? And then when James pays it back, where's that documentation? They just don't remember. Amnesia is the new scapegoat for the Biden family in its entirety. And speaking of that, the Department of Justice skipped the congressional deadline to hand over special counsel Robert Hur's transcribed interview that he did with Joe Biden. The ones where he was asking Joe Biden over 2 days in a five-hour period about various things that the Congress felt they needed to know, dealing with how you handled, mishandled, classified documents. And Robert Hur, in the end, decided we're not going to charge him. And that's all Joe Biden wanted to go out and declare. I'm not being charged. I've been found innocent. No, it's not exactly right. Robert Hur said we're not going to charge him because he'll be described and seen by those judging him, be a judge and or a jury, as just an elderly man with a poor memory. Well, the House Counsel Oversight Committee said, we want that transcript, and we want it by Feb 19. We're past Feb 19. They still don't have it, and it doesn't appear to be coming at any point. They asked that directly to the Department of Justice. Once again, Merrick Garland, Department of Justice, covering up CYA for themselves and Joe Biden. Which, by the way, brings me to Claire McCaskill, former Missouri senator, now a contributor to MSNBC, talking about how the New York Times had been fact-checking Joe Biden's recent economic talking points, Bidenomics. And she was upset with the New York Times. The New York Times has reached a point where there's some of this stuff we just can't ignore. And she said, if you travel around the world, which I'm fortunate enough to have a chance to do several times, you know what the rest of the world sees? They see America with the strongest economy, America with the most advanced technology. Yeah, I'm sure of all of that. And then she said, can I make a suggestion? I move that every newspaper in America quit doing fact checks on Joe Biden until they fact check Donald Trump every morning on the front page. It's ridiculous the New York Times fact check Joe Biden on something. I mean, and these are the words of Claire McCaskill, and when she says he, she's referring to Joe Biden. She said, I mean, he vomits lies. Trump vomits lies. And he, every day, over and over and over again. Well, now that I hear that part of it, I'm not sure what she's talking about, Joe Biden or Trump. Maybe a little slip of the word by mistake at her end. When we mentioned earlier a massive AT&T outage network across the nation earlier today, most power apparently all restored, but it affected AT&T operations starting at 3 a.m. Central. It lasted about 4 to 5 hours in different areas. Major cities, Houston, Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Verizon and T-Mobile also caught up in it. AT&T are stating we're still not sure exactly what happened. We know 911 calls were blocked and not able to go through in some areas. They're still scrambling to try to figure out what it is, what happened. And we had a report, and I shared with you earlier, and it bears reporting again. Check with your pharmacy. Some pharmacies are reporting that some of their systems have been hacked. Don't know if it's just to get script information or debt payment information. But pharmacies are reporting issues, and that would include possibly filling prescriptions for you. And then here comes Florida Senator Rubio. He wrote on Twitter today what he says, and what I'm about to read to you, if you think about it, the timing that he's suggesting would be, that would clearly make sense, wouldn't it? Are you ready? Here it comes. The Florida Republican posted today, I don't know the cause of the AT&T outage, but I do know it will be 100 times worse when China launches a cyber attack on America on the eve of a Taiwan invasion. That would make perfect sense, wouldn't it? Strike America and its grid of all types as you invade Taiwan, if you're capable of doing it. And it may not just be a cyber attack, because we now know they have many military-age Chinese men in this country illegally. Thank you, Joe Biden. And then the senator adds, this next time at that point, it won't be just cell service they hit. It will be your power, your water, your bank. Now, again, he's not blaming the Chinese for this one that happened today. But we do know that tens of thousands of AT&T customers had outages, home phone, internet, mobile services, all down, are not working effectively. One AT&T spokesman said, some of our customers are experiencing wireless service interruptions this morning. We're working urgently to restore service. We encourage the use of Wi-Fi calling until service is restored. Thousands and thousands of AT&T customers. You may hear from a relative in one of those states, or you have already, now that the service has been restored, saying, I had important news I needed to share with you, but I couldn't get through. The phones were not working. The computer was down. Everything was off. Long before we had all these cell phones and all the communication systems we have, long, long before, you got your news through the basic town crier. Yeah, the guy that stood in the middle of the square downtown and shouted out whatever news was to be shared. That was the town crier. And then, of course, we got publishing papers and radios and TV. But there's a threat coming when it comes to conservative voices in the electronic media. This I'm going to cite from the St. Louis Business Journal, but it's been elsewhere as well. Odyssey holds KMOX radio and five other radio stations, another conservative talk station. Odyssey has filed for bankruptcy. And here comes someone to the rescue to buy them all up at pennies on the dollar, and probably will look to cut costs immediately, which will probably mean jobs will be lost. And I have friends that work at these stations, and they have families, and I'm concerned about them. And some of them in particular might be facing a cut because the buyer is going to be George Soros, who was always looking to push progressive, ultra-progressive views. So I would expect conservative voices on those stations to be silenced. This station is owned by local owners, and they don't tell us what we can or can't say. But if George Soros came in and bought this station, I'm sure what I'm saying would be off the air immediately. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There will be a loss of conservative voices. That's why this station is going to be more important to you than ever. So please continue supporting us, you and sponsors. And I thank you, and so do the other employees here at the station. George Soros will be looking to do what he can to shut down any conservative voices, especially as we go into the coming election. And he could have control of those stations certainly well before the election. Now on to another subject. New York State is losing yet another, and this time in a historical business. The blue state philosophy and taxes obviously are to blame. And while the state itself might not feel the effects immediately, one city in New York certainly will. Details coming.
The less anti-gun agenda robbing a small blue-collar town of its soul. That's how our next guest describes the closure of Ilion, New York's Remington Gun Factory after more than two centuries in business, taking roughly 300 jobs with it as it relocates to Georgia.
Republican state lawmakers are blaming the move on the state's 2021 gun industry liability law, which allows gun makers to be sued if they knowingly or recklessly create or maintain or contribute to violence.
Now, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik was among the Republicans who say that the laws in New York State are to blame. And Kathy Hochul, you need to back some of these laws down. In particular, stop your unconstitutional assault on the Second Amendment. Now, others are saying, no, the company's leaving because they can get cheaper labor in Georgia. They're also going to have cheaper taxes and everything else. So if that's the issue, then New York State has more to do with it than just Hochul. But the Second Amendment assault upon Remington, 207 years in Ilion, New York State. The population of Ilion is 7,000. 300 are directly employed at the factory. But think of all the ancillary jobs connected to it. The grocery store down the street, the pharmacy, the truck drivers, the school system being supported by the monies being brought in on tax sales, which would be enormous in New York State. This is, again, an instance of an effort by those who want to say, you don't have a right to the Second Amendment, so we're just going to do what we can to make things difficult for gun makers. Remington says, you know what? Screw you. We'll go to Georgia. And it is going to hurt the people of Ilion in particular. And not just those directly employed, but those directly employed, their families, and, as I said, supporting businesses. Why? Because, again, it's this progressive agenda. Now, we all hear about artificial intelligence. I joke that I do have that. I'm very good. I do have artificial intelligence. But you know what we're talking about, AI. Google has an AI chat box, Gemini. You need to know what's happened here with this one. It's being busted as being woke because what it did in its image generator spit out factually or historically inaccurate pictures, a woman as a pope, Vikings as black, female National Hockey League players, diverse versions of America's founding fathers. One of them is an image of George Washington in his uniform, but he's black. You can't change history. George Washington was white. But they have done this. And they were doing other things because once you started going through their AI chat, there were no white people whatsoever. Can you imagine, just imagine what would have happened if this AI chat thing suddenly depict everyone, like a George Washington Carver, as a white man, or Martin Luther King Jr., a white man? No, it's not. He was black. But what if the AI chat said, we're going to make them all white? And there will be those who see it and believe that. But there would be an uproar over that one. Well, there is enough uproar on this one that now Google is saying, whoops, our bad. Our bad. We'll try to correct that. There is an issue with AI that we're going to have to keep a close watch on it. They start messing around with things like that, and we've already had people now claiming that the Hunter Biden laptop has been messed with by AI. No, no, no. Hunter Biden did all of that, but that also involves artificial intelligence. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.